Lord, as we gather today, we ask you for your presence to be with us. We invite your Holy Spirit to fill this place and to guide us as we worship and praise you. May you shine your light in us, through us, and over us, that we can make a difference in the world for your glory and purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.
Scripture reading is Colossians 3, verses 1 to 17, and it's headed, Living as Those Made Alive in Christ. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived, but now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Do not lie to each other, since you have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge in the image of its creator. Here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
For this morning, I couldn't really know what the theme should be. Although I've called it Back to Basics, as we just heard there, the scripture reading there gives one heading. What I've got in my Bible is Rules for Holy Living. So it's all different sort of themes what I could have picked up on. But I thought, well, yes, okay, let's think about getting back, if you like, going back to basics, going back to the beginning of when you first came to Christ. Going back to when the church was first birthed. Colossians was one of the books that Paul wrote. It's one of those churches that Paul never visited. He didn't form, you know, he was not the founder of that church either. See if I can get the wording right here, the name right. Epaphras. He was a close comrade of Paul. He was the founder of the church in Colossus. But even back then, the early church, formed on great faith, formed by great doctrine, they drifted away. They started taking on board things of their past life. And so Paul would write a letter. In this case, he wrote and said, look, you need to get back. You need to get back to what you had been first taught. And we can see in other letters as well from Paul, in Galatians, very similar wording to what we have here. Of saying, really, you need to get back to what you first had, that first love, getting back to what you originally came to. And I think for so many of us, especially those of us that have been in Christ for many years, you know, I think back to 50-odd years for myself, and I know there's others here that may better say, yes, very similar. And there are those who may have come to Christ recently. How many of us need to look back and say, Lord, where have I moved away from what you first taught me? Those things which I first came away from. Paul puts a long list here, doesn't he? And he puts a very similar list in Galatians as well. You know, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to the earthly nature. Sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Because of these, the wrath of God is coming. You used to walk in these ways in the life you once lived. Very similar in Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. Starting at verse 19, even. The acts of sinful nature are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions. All the things which, you know, at one time, some people, not all of us, were involved in. Before we came to Christ. But the church, it appears, had slipped back. They'd taken back, some of the people had gone back to the way of their ways. I paused a bit on witchcraft. You know, if we read in the book of Acts, we can read there about the Ephesian church. Acts 19, 18 and 19. The Ephesian church was so convicted by their acts of witchcraft that they brought out all their books of spells, all their different books of witchcraft. And as it says there, their books came to a cost of 50,000 drachmas. One drachma, apparently, from what I gather from the concordance, one drachma is about a day's wages. And if you work out 50,000, that's about 137 years of wages. There's a lot of books there, a lot of money. A lot of money being burnt. Have we got books on witchcraft? Have we got books that glorify witchcraft in any way? You know, here we are as a church here, we have every year our moving away from Halloween into having the service, having children's light party. Can we really have books on witchcraft and say no to witchcraft of having Halloween? Do I dare say it? What about Harry Potter? Glorifying witchcraft, glorifying spells. Should we not think in terms of burning those books? I know that there are people that will probably say, no, Harry Potter's fiction. But even fiction can lead people to be interested in witchcraft. So yes, here was the church that Paul was speaking to and saying, you need to get back to what you first had, your first love. You need to get back to when you first came to Christ and repented of your sins. Do we, as a church of today, need to get back to what we first had? It's very easy for each one of us to go on our daily living and to start slipping backwards. I remember a time, not long after I'd become a Christian, a situation, I won't go into it all, but a situation where a chap came into the workshop and said, the new batteries you wanted have just come in. Tell them that you've been stuck without them. That would have been a lie. And I felt this word come to me, no. Do I get that sort of thing today? Can I really say yes? Or is there that temptation just to simply bring in, it won't matter if I just tell that little white lie? It's so easy to slip back into our old ways, of the ways before Christ. Even as a church, are we in any way tempted to go backwards? I remember the days of old when it used to be like this, when it used to be, they were the good old days. I remember the days when I first come to church. We didn't have all this idea of Sunday school on or the children out there. We can't go out there. We can't go out. Well, thankfully in those days we could, because there was no facilities for at the back for toilet facilities. So thankfully we could go out there. But the good old days? Yeah. But in a way, although there's many distractions going on today of rules and regulations brought on by the government, some of those rules and regulations are good. Protecting not just ourselves, but protecting those who are vulnerable. But I think to myself as well, some of those rules and regulations are distracting us from what we are called to be about. And what was we called to be about? Mark 16, preach the gospel, heal the sick, deliverance from evil, cast out demons. Are we really about that purpose as a church? Can we really say yes, we as a church are really out there preaching the gospel? Thankfully, there are a few. But at the same time, are we being distracted from doing what Christ originally called us to do? By rules and regulations, not just rules and regulations by the government, but rules and regulations by our own church governments. It's sad at the moment, isn't it, with George? Rules and regulations means that George isn't able to be with us at this time. How sad. But there is only one thing, there is one rule, one regulation which nobody is able to step against, and that is our private prayer times. Our private, when we can pray against some of these things. When we can be in prayer saying, Lord, deliver us from evil. Deliver the church from evil. Bring justice. Bring about the change where, you know, to release George from whatever it is that's over him so that he can once again come back. Release us to be free to preach the gospel, that we may heal the sick and bring deliverance from demons. You know, there is no rules and regulations against us praying. Unless, of course, you happen to stand outside certain places and in prayer where you could get arrested. What sad affairs it is. You know, you can't stand on the street corner anymore and preach the gospel if you're going to preach against other faiths or against other, you know, against certain sins. You can be arrested. So yeah, we need to be in prayer for those that do go out on the street. You know, think of Andy Hammond and those that go in his team that go out on a Wednesday. We need to be in prayer for them, praying that they are able to give out the gospel without any hindrance, without any fear of being arrested. It is a sad thing that we're in a day and age of where so easily we can overstep the mark and upset others. But let's also remember what Paul was saying to the Colossian church. And overall, these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you will call to peace and be thankful. No matter what our differences are, no matter what difference we have with other denominations or other churches around us, no matter what differences we may have amongst ourselves, let's put on peace. Let's put on unity. Let's live in that bond of love. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom. If we do have grievance against each other, let's come to a point of peace where we can say, yes, we are in love. And you know, we come to that place where we can be in agreeance in some way, out of love. So yes, we have moved on. As a church universal, as a church here, there have been many, many changes taking place. Of those changes are forced upon us, forced upon government, you know, by the government. But Christ, he doesn't force those changes on us. He says there's only one thing that I need from you. That is your love, your commitment to me, your love and commitment to one another, your love and commitment to the gospel and spreading that gospel. I believe the Lord would have us just draw to a close there, rather than, you know, I could go on and on, but I just feel the Lord is saying, yeah, just come to a close. So as we just come to the close of the address that I feel the Lord put upon me, let's just have a moment of prayer, and after that we'll have prayers of intercession as well. So maybe just pray. Father, we just thank you for your word to us. We thank you, Lord, that you, the head of our church, bring about unity, oneness. And although we as a church are a changing church, you never change. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. Lord, help us to get back to that place where we are at one, fully, with you, walking in your ways. Recognizing, Lord, those things which we need to get back and to get right with you over. And above all, Lord, we ask you to step out, to richly bless us as a church, to bless us as individuals, as members of your church, to give us a fresh anointing of your Spirit, that we may live in accordance to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.